Today is the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. It's also this feast day of St. Anacletus. So the second oration, secret and post-communion, come from his Mass today. You're finding the missals on July 13th. Also, the Father Roy Randolph Right to Life group will be praying the Holy Rosary at the Planned Parenthood. That will be in school on School Street in Glen Cove. That will be this Saturday, July 19th. That will be at 9:30 in the morning. So please, if you're able to join them, please be with them July 19th, 9:30 this Saturday. Also, the ordination of Reverend Mr. Kruger will take place here at St. Pius V Chapel on September 3rd, 2014. That is the ordination to the Holy Priesthood. If you are planning on coming to the luncheon afterwards at the Milleridge Inn, please do stop and make your reservations in the vestibule. Two ladies will be there after Mass taking your reservations, so please do stop by and let us know if you'll be attending that luncheon September 3rd after the ordination of Reverend Mr. Paul Kruger. Also, in the chair of your prayers, I please ask you to remember Mr. Dan Vikas. He's the father of Father Vikas. Mr. Vikas suffered a serious stroke just this last week, so please do keep him in your prayers. Also, Sister Maria Dolorosa. Sister's cancer has reoccurred, and she'll be beginning treatments this Tuesday, July 15th. So I'd ask you to please also keep her in your prayers. The epistle appointed to be read for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the epistle of St. Peter. Dearly beloved, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, being lovers of the brotherhood, merciful, modest, humble, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. For unto this are you called, that you may inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him decline from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and pursue it, because the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers. But the countenance of the Lord upon them that do evil things. And who is he that can hurt you if you be zealous of good? But if also you suffer anything for justice's sake, blessed are ye. And be not afraid of their fear, and be not troubled, but sanctify the Lord Christ in your hearts. On the Holy Gospel. The Gospel taken from St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 20 through 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Unless your justice abound more than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to them of old, 'Thou shalt not kill,' and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. And whoever shall say, 'Thou fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire. If therefore thou offer thy gift at the altar, and there thou remember that thy brother hath anything against thee, leave there thy offering before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then coming thou shalt offer thy gift." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, the passion of anger is very much like fire. Fire is very destructive in its actions, very strong, very vehement. And by the smoke that it produces, it actually obstructs the view of seeing what is beyond the fire. And so too with anger. Anger is very violent. It's very vehement in its action. And it prevents a man from seeing the sinfulness of his conduct. Anger goes so far as even to cause a man to change his looks. A man who's in a rage actually has a disfigured face. And if the face is disfigured before men, what must he appear before Almighty God? Saint Jerome tells us that it is anger which is the door through which other vices enter into the soul. Anger sets the stage for resentment, for blasphemy, for injustice, detraction, and scandal. It darkens man's understanding and makes him act like a madman. Anger makes man incapable of distinguishing between what is just and what is unjust, because it deprives one of prudence and reason and understanding. A man who does not restrain the impulse of anger easily falls into hatred towards the person to whom the anger is directed. A hatred, as St. Augustine says, is nothing more than prolonged anger. Anger is sudden, but hatred is lasting. And some will say, yes, but I need to be angry. Those who are my subordinates do not listen, and therefore I must yell at them. I must become angry at them. Well, my dear faithful, it's one thing to be angry at the improper action or even the sin. And it's quite another to be angry with the person. Anger against sin is not a sin at all. In fact, to be angry at sin is zeal, because sin is an offense against Almighty God. And to be angry against sin is a good thing for the honor, because the honor of God is injured. But it's hard for us to distinguish. Many times we see the sin and one becomes angry at the individual and not the sin. Becomes angry at the individual because one himself has received an injury. If one who we correct perceives that we're correcting them because we're angry at them and not the sin, then the correction will have of no avail. But anger and hatred also bring a desire for revenge. Anger clouds the understanding and the reason. One becomes angry with another and says there is just grounds for revenge. But once the passion subsides and passes away, one no doubt sees the conduct of another, which was not really as bad as it was perceived under the influence of anger. But even if the injury was a grievous injury, God will not have compassion on us if we seek revenge. It says in the book of Deuteronomy, "Revenge is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." Vengeance for sin does not belong to us. Vengeance for sin belongs to God. And there will come a time when He will chastise those who are sinners of unrepentant sin, and they will receive the chastisement they deserve. But if we seek revenge because of an injury and because of our anger and our hatred, then God will justly inflict vengeance upon us. For how many injuries have we inflicted upon Him? St. Peter once asked our Lord, "How many times must I forgive my brother?" And Peter thought he was being generous. Peter said, "Seven times." And our Lord very calmly and patiently said, 70 times, seven times. In other words, without limit. How is it that we should expect to obtain forgiveness of our transgressions against God if we are not willing to forgive all the transgressions of others against us? If we are tempted to fly off the handle into a fit of passion, we must restrain that passion and keep a level head. We must moderate our passion of anger through the practice of meekness. Meekness is the virtue of the Lamb, because like a lamb, our Lord Himself, without anger, without complaint, bore His sorrows and His passion in His cross and crucifixion for us. Our Lord has told us, He says, "Learn of me because I am meek and humble of heart." We see the image of the Sacred Heart above our altar. We see the crucifix as in the stations of the cross, even above our own altar. And we see our Lord telling us, learn of me because I am meek and I am humble. What we do not hear our Lord saying from the crucifix or from the statue pointing to His Sacred Heart, "Learn of me because I'm angry. Learn of me because I am full of revenge." No, our Lord said to us, "Learn of me because I am meek and humble of heart." It is to the meek that the kingdom of heaven is promised. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land." Unfortunately, some boast of their meekness. They are meek to those who praise them. They are meek to those who confer favors upon them and get those with whom they get along. But as soon as an injury comes, they are full of fury. And their meekness is shallow and only superficial. True meekness is being meek and peaceful towards those who hate us. Being meek towards those who injure us. Yes, sometimes we need to be firm. It is true. We need to stand for our rights and we need to stand up for the faith. It is true. And we must hate sin. But we also must be meek and humble with injuries given to us. Whenever one lashes out against you from anger, remember the proverb, a mild answer breaks wrath. He who is humble and who he was meek converts humiliations into humility. Our Lord calls the disciples happy when they are reviled and when they are persecuted. Can we say that we truly are tried, that we truly also are happy when we are reviled, when we are persecuted? Virtue is known by being tried. Just like gold is tried in the fire and all of the dross falls off from the gold and is burned up, and the gold is purified in that fire, so too the patience and the meekness of man is proven by injuries and humiliations. My dear faithful, be not quick to anger. Answer in meekness. Answer in calmness. Remember the words of St. Paul to the Romans. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.